I've got a bad habit of allowing future work, even in the same day, to ruin the joy that we have from living. Just because I've got a work at 2 doesn't mean I shouldn't enjoy my 8 to 1.
Even the way women expect us to break up with them. We're not allowed to be there like, we're thinking, I didn't want to do this and I really love you. And you're not allowed. You're not allowed to. Why are you not allowed? Because it's, you're not a man at the moment. You need to be firm. You need to be thing. They tell you that you need to break up with a woman and... Okay, well, the first time I had sex, it was during the day.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's like a new person back in uni, I used to shift the lights.
Yeah.
I used to shift the lights. Yeah, definitely used to shift the lights. Because I didn't want... to ruin the... You can picture Idris Elba. I can picture... You know what I mean? Like, let everyone have the body type they want, but I still want to connect with you.
Say 9 out of 10 men are polyamorous. They don't believe in one-on-one dating, what. But they do it because they can see they're going to lose you. So if you have convinced a man to date you one man on one, and he's, you can see he's really tapping in, love that man.
There are things men feel, fear, and want, but almost never say them. Not to our boys, not to our partners, sometimes not even to ourselves. In this episode, we're taking the lid off. No filters, no pretending, just the truth about what's really going on inside. This episode is titled, What Men Never Speak About Out Loud.
Oh, my.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Seat, everybody.
Yeah, well done, well done. Nice one. Welcome back to our part-time jobs.
Your part-time job, my...
You can't tell me this is your full-time job. You can't tell me, unless you're not getting paid the same amount. But you can't tell me such a full-time.
I feel like you downplay how much this podcast makes.
I think probably do. Like, in a month, it does well. Like, maybe
in a period of 2-3 months, it does
well. I think, like, in a period of, like, bi-monthly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does well, yeah.
Okay. But welcome back to a brand new episode, guys. So, as you guys heard me in the beginning of my hook, we're talking about things that men are too scared to speak about out loud. But before we get into that, guys, my name is Tataro Mbedi. I am a brand strategist, influencer marketing expert, and I'm in love with creating content. This is my brother, Lebo Rampedi.
Hi, guys.
Yep, and he is my co-host today on Seated. It's going to be quite a nice conversation.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, guys, we're going to be telling you guys how we are as we get into the how are you. And of course, we're going to talk about things that have been happening when it comes to current affairs. I do want your guys' help with Lerataritaba. I keep not doing the R.
Lerataritaba.
We want to know, should we be speaking about what's happening in the social media space? Should we be speaking about what's happening in the wellness space? Like, I wanted to align with the content you guys enjoy hearing and watching at home. So please do suggest that to us. We'd appreciate it. Then from the, of course, episode, maybe a game here and there. So let's get into it. The first segment, which is...
How are you?
You know, I posted on my story today.
What?
I think it was in the morning. I was late last night. I was like, guys... When do you know if you're working hard? Like, do you measure it by the time you put into your laptop and your desk or your job? I think no. Do you measure it by your impact? Possibly. Like, what is the real measure of success and hard work? And someone replied to my stories because I made it a questions thing. So please follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. And I realized that the best way, the best answer was, hard work is deciphered by you achieving the short-term and long-term goals you've set for yourself. So if you say, nah, my job is to open up a studio, get 4 bookings a week, grow a team, and you do that within your timelines, then you can say you work hard, or you can say you execute your goals. So that's been what's on my mind. That's how I am. I've been working day and night, and I've seen that, like, the best thing for me to do is wake up earlier. And I've never been a fan of waking up earlier or a fan of working after 6. But in this season of my life, I've had to do that. So that's been quite difficult. I mean, on Capable, I interviewed the owner and founder of WorkPause, and he was speaking to me about, like, work-life balance. And he was saying, you know what, guys? In life, you need to just write the story of your life. Mm. When it comes to your business, when it comes to your personal life, write down how you want your life to look like. And then from there, do everything in your world to try and achieve that. I think it's so beautiful because it allows for you to really know what you're working towards, but then also be comfortable when you arrive. I think we spoke about this
in the previous episode.
Like how it feels like to arrive and how it feels like to live in answered prayers. So that's how I am. We did this last time, and I hate that we're doing it again. But we said, don't speak about gym and lifestyle changes unless it's been how long?
1 month.
1 month, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the third week now.
On that note then, how are you?
Nah, yo, I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah, just taking it day by day, trying to be kind to myself when I can be kind to myself, trying to work hard when I can work hard.
Yeah.
I like this whole, like, working hard concept. Like, what is working hard? What's not working hard?
Yeah.
Because from what I've seen, you know, I've done the 9 to 5 and going every day and going to a job every single day, sitting at a desk every single day,
yeah,
earning a certain amount of money. And then this life, not doing the 9 to 5 and working maybe 3 times in a week, getting the same amount of money. You feel me? And then I'm starting to realize that, like, it's all about what you're doing now. Like, that's what I really, like, I'm trying to tap into. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. So even though you're building something that's not making, like, for example, right now, my brother and I, we obviously started an influencer marketing agency. We're from Penny Media. And, you know, we are pushing the boundaries of what we believe influence to be and et cetera like that. And you have to understand, these things, even though they might not work right now, the big ideas of changing the whole influencer game right now, at some point, they're going to work out.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see my life more on, like, not a checklist, but a progress bar.
Okay.
Nice. So it's like a downloading. So it's like 25%, 35%, whatever. Yeah. And just trying to increase a percent every day. Because that means you're getting close to the 100%. That's what I'm trying to do. So even with my body, like I just mentioned briefly, we started the gym journey and stuff. And 90 Day Hard in the previous episode, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Even with gym, like, I'll wake up, I don't want to go to gym. But then I'll just say to myself, you know, go to the bathroom, take off shirts, and then you'll go to gym. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go to gym. Because I understand, like, the 1% are downloading. Like, I see arms. The next week, I see arms. Like, oh, nah, I didn't have that last week. This is nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I am at right now. What else am I stressed about before I continue with how the rest of the pod?
How's your whole, what is it, Modern Family thing going? Is it Modern Family?
Yeah. I've been watching Modern Family. I've been watching a couple of series.
I'm not watching Modern Family. Remember you were speaking about designing your life to be like...
Yes, or like designing my life to be like Modern Family. Oh yeah, business is taking too much of my weekends now. Because you guys must understand, if someone says to you, shooting on a Saturday at, let's just say, 2 p.m., you must understand, everything before 2 p.m. is now you being anxious about going to go shoot at 2 p.m. So your day is, like, gone. There's no second of you to, like, rest, mind,
whatever. Which actually poses such a nice conversation. Like, I think Lebo spoke about the Film Foundation thing a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
We spoke about how it's so important for you to have things that you value, family, friends, love, alone time, enjoy. Then work must just be a mechanism to allow for you to have those things.
Yeah, literally.
So now in these instances where you've got a 2 p.m. shoot, why, and this happens to me too, how come from the moment I wake up until 1, I'm stressed? And even if I'm not stressed, why am I not enjoying my cup of tea?
Yeah, man. It's that acceptance thing I was talking about. Yeah. So now I'm learning that skill a bit more of, like, oh, right, like, let's say my bank account is empty, but I'm just chilling, like, you know, me and my partner are hungry or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pull out, I'm going to spend money, whatever. Even if there's no money left, I'll be like, it's whatever. Because I'm accepting that money will come at some point. I'm accepting my problem now. I'm accepting the thing. I don't get angry. I don't get frustrated. I don't get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas there's the other side of it. So let's say a good example of the 2 p.m. shoot. It's just about acceptance. It's just about getting up, getting dressed, cleaning the place and saying, okay, I can't wait to go to work. You know what I mean? But it's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not even speaking about the... you know, the mindset towards going to work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about you enjoying breakfast, time with your loved one in the moment. I feel like we've got a bad habit of, maybe I explained it wrong, we've got a bad habit of allowing future work, even in the same day, to ruin the joy that we have from living what life actually is, which is waking up, doing the dishes, laughing with your partner, making some breakfast, watching a show, playing a game, coloring, like... Just because I've got a work at 2 doesn't mean I shouldn't enjoy my 8 to 1.
Yeah.
So I think we should all be quite, like, mindful of that, because it's going to take away a lot of joy and a lot of moments.
Yeah, I also want to say, just for our lives, like, a big acceptance that I had to do is that, like, okay, cool. Because I work an unconventional job or, like, that's not a normal job, my weekends are no longer weekends. So I need to design my week also to have some sort of, like, break or week. Like, some sort of, like, pause.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying now is, like, on Fridays now, I'm going to say to myself, like, work finishes at, like, 12. Like, nothing, no touching work from 12 onwards. Because otherwise, you're just going to be burning this, candle 24/7, like,
yeah.
And people don't know, like, in the life of a content creator, even when you're not making content, you're thinking constantly, what am I supposed to be making?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You feel heavy about those stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah.
Let's move into the pod. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, cool. So, the first segment, you guys know we'll do segments when it comes to these conversations. The first one is the things we're afraid to admit.
Yeah.
So, what are some unspoken insecurities, things that relate to maybe money, career, performance, yeah, that you are too afraid to admit? I know one thing for me is that something that I don't speak about enough, and every time we do, I think men are too scared to speak about it quite loudly, is the pressure of being the provider.
Yeah, it's a big one. That is,
I think that's
one,
like, a big insecurity of a lot of men.
Yeah.
That affects our dating pool.
Emotions also.
It affects our emotions. That's why you see a lot of guys go for younger girls, yeah, because it's easy to provide for a university student versus, yeah, providing for a woman that works just as hard as you, because you want to give her more than she can give herself.
Mm.
I think that's one insecurity for me off the bat, that I'm like, like, am I enough of a provider?
Yeah.
And how do I provide to my capacity and communicate that to my partner that, this is what I can do?
Yeah.
And at the same time, hope that it's enough.
Yeah.
Because I think our biggest insecurity is not knowing if it's enough for our partner, what we can achieve. Yeah. So what's one insecurity for you? And I just want to continue the conversation.
My one is definitely like my body, like body. Like, a lot of men don't speak about this, but we are actually very like self, like aware of our bodies and etc.
Yeah.
Hey man, it's not nice, you know. Like, I remember, oh yes, let me tell a story. The other day we went to Blanco, 7th on Melville, guys, great place. Yeo, hashtag Yeo. And you know, we were all there in the section. I was with Percy, Shadi, you know, a couple of friends, whatever. And then Khunse, you know, Khunse recently got a tattoo, ne?
Yeah, yeah.
So Khunse landed with a sleeveless shirt.
You're kidding me.
To groove.
And he got more tattoos yesterday.
Sleeveless, guys, like a beater. Like, he landed with a beater to groove. Arms out, big, heavy, man. And I was like, rah, like, I really need to, like, tap into the gym. Because I looked left and right and I saw, you know, I didn't see the energy. Happy as a tiger on the shoulder. I don't even have a tattoo, so it's the skin.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, dude, actually, I'm very self-conscious about the way I look. Like, yeah, especially, like, naked and stuff and all this stuff. So yeah, that's a big one that women actually, I don't feel like women actually know. Yeah. And a lot of brus also don't know about themselves, yeah, that we actually all self-conscious.
True. I mean, yeah, even with me, if I saw something like quite personal, when I was in my early 20s, yeah, I used to be, okay, like very, like I'm talking about like 19, 20, when I started having sex up, yeah, until 22, 23.
Yeah.
I was so scared to be naked in front of a partner. Like,
really?
Completely naked, like lights,
yeah,
out. Now my man, I'm there, butt naked. Sorry, yeah, for that image for those at home.
Yeah.
But like back then, I used to be so afraid to be completely butt naked.
You're not alone, bro. Like first couple of times, I was switching off the light. Like, okay, well, the first time I had sex, it was during the day.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's like a new person back in uni, I used to switch off the lights.
Yeah.
I used to switch off the lights. Yeah, definitely, yeah, switch off that. Because I didn't want to ruin the... You can picture Idris Elba. I can picture... You know what I mean? Like, let everyone have the body type they want, but I still want to connect with you. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, so... what do you think about that, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, when your partner switches off the lights when you're having sex, you think they think that they are not attractive or you are not attractive?
I think it all stems from insecurity. So everyone's worried about what other person is thinking about them, yeah, right? So I'm worried, like, okay, cool, does my partner think that, like, yo, my elbows are weird, or,
yeah,
the length of my neck is weird? Obviously, there's deeper things. Mm. And then the woman, also, women are probably thinking, yo, like, is my... I know a lot of girls are worried about, like, consistency of their skin complexion,
yeah,
and, like, just the overall shape of their body. Like, is it enough? Does he find it, yeah, attractive? So for me, whenever I'm met with someone who wants to dim the lights, what I do is that I just praise their body as it exists, like in different moments.
Mm.
Like I explain to them that, like, dude, I actually really love this part of your body. I love this part of your body and I'm loud about it. And then you see the girls doing the same with time. And that really allows for,
that's
like
a nice one, yeah,
better sexual relations, because you guys are constantly pampering each other. Mm. Then you eventually believe what I used to think were lies. you believe the truth that your partner actually finds you really sexually attractive.
Yeah, really.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because attraction, I mean, is physical, but also stems from the heart. So the more, yeah, you love a person, the more attractive you find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's why people try to dim the lights, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I know another one that people always speak about is men don't avoid their feelings. We don't have them. Men don't avoid feelings because we don't have them, right? We avoid them because we don't feel safe showing them.
Yeah, I do.
So I know that's a big conversation also. Like, I know guys are always saying, I know with me and like you guys, and whenever we're on goals, we'll say like, you guys aren't emotionally supportive. Mm. And they'll be like, no, but we are. We you try. Guys don't talk, we try.
You guys don't talk.
But yeah. I mean, from my side and from speaking from a lot of men, at the end of the day, guys, women don't know how to actually be, some women don't know how to be emotionally present when it comes to men.
Yes,
and
some.
Men are also fighting being emotionally present, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like because it's so sensitive, I think we need to explain to the ladies at home that women need to be extra sensitive when a man starts pouring out his feelings.
Because it's so rare.
Because it's so rare, and he needs to be accepted within that first instance that it happens, right? So it's like a matter of like attentiveness. Mm. Like, if I'm speaking to you about an insecurity, how I feel, are you on your phone? Are you on TikTok? Are you busy? Or are you locked in and looking into my eyes?
I don't know, man, because I also feel like as a man, you only have a certain amount of like vouchers per year to like really like get emotional.
Yeah, true, true, true. Because then you lose that.
Because you lose your masculinity in the relationship.
And you lose the perception of leadership. At the end of the day, I know a lot of people are going to be like, no, like just share. Like women will still view you as a leader. No, we spoke about this maybe a couple months ago.
I don't think so.
Yeah, once you start complaining and then, dude, in a relationship, a man leads a woman.
Yeah.
And a man is the protector. Physical protector, emotional protector, financial protector.
Yeah.
The woman can play those roles too, but then it's the man's role.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to what I believe in.
Yeah.
So the moment I make you feel like I am not
emotionally
regulated and okay, how do you then feel safe? Yeah. Now I'm forcing masculinity to live and come up from you.
It must truly be a thing. Keep in mind, the moment you see a man like in a conversation hit a teardrop, just know like, it's going down. You know what I mean? It mustn't be a thing of like, another day of, this guy's crying every single day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like that masculinity, femininity thing also is quite a balance. Eh? It's like a balance. Just need to allow me to feel that way. Some women aren't on that thing. I was recently watching Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. Married at First Sight. Yeah. And one of the girlies in the, she was more like loud, mouth spoken, like she speaks her mind, She didn't allow, I don't think she allows her partner that emotional like role, like the role of emotional protector and stuff like that. Yeah. So what happens in those scenarios, a woman like that, where there's the thing, that's the thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's tricky, this thing.
I think like, I mean, the title of this episode is What Men Never Say Out Loud. On the subject matter, like, one thing I never say out loud is that I don't know if it's safe enough for me to to tell you how I feel, because we've just
you should just say that now.
Yeah, like I don't think I'm safe to tell you how I feel all the time.
Which is so unfair as a man, because you have to understand, as a man, you are ready for your hand to be extremely angry, extremely sad, extremely happy, she can
hit her knee. You must provide the safety, reassurance, and healing for her sore knee.
Yeah. But like, let it, you be just a bit hurt.
But
I mean, a bit.
But I'm not saying that we want to feel the same about a knee. You get what I'm saying?
Nah,
a woman can be the shells and the eggs and everything. We just, what do we want, bro?
Let me take it back for you, because I like taking it back, because everything can be explained in how humans are raised.
Yeah.
Everything, our behaviors, everything. Let me take you back. When you were in the playground, right, and a girl fell and she started crying, what would happen?
They'd run to her, give her attention.
Even the teachers, everyone. Let a boy fall. What did they tell him? Hey, Munas. They pick you up.
Be a man.
Hit you on the back and they say, be a man. And you walk. You know what I mean? That's your first time that you weren't allowed the safety to be emotional. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's skip now. Go forward. Now you're in high school, right? And you're playing sports. So now you're used to physical pain. Mm. You're used to physical pain. But let's say now you have your first emotional heartbreak. You know? What did they expect the man to be? Very calm. It's not you, it's not me. Even the way women expect us to break up with them. We're not allowed to be there like, wait a second, I didn't want to do this and I really love you. And you're not allowed. You're not allowed to. Why are you not allowed? Because you're not a man at the end of the moment. You need to be firm. You need to be thing. They tell you that you need to break up with a woman and and then in later in life, you go to university, you face disappointment. And they're like, oh, dog, you're a man. You're going to still face, wake up and fight, chief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take it to the other side, our partners. Let's go back. The girls, taking care of when she cries. When the heartbreak happens, she calls all of her homegirls. What happened, Jomi? She takes down everything that ever happened. Let's go. Then she gets rejected later on in life. What happens? Family support. Families are there for you. Hey, my girl, don't worry, we'll figure it out. Next support is what? The husband. Boom. She's done in life emotionally. Mm. A man has lost how many years? That's why when a man finally like,
crashes out.
He crashes.
He crashes the hell out because he's never had that space to actually let that thing out, the tunnel of emotions out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so real because I'm only seeing myself really deal with a lot of things now in like the church.
Yeah,
because it's like they teach you how to like heal your inner wounds. Like we're speaking about on Sunday, we're speaking about the power of the tongue and how the tongue speaks life and death.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll basically say, I mean, I was picturing like my upbringing, my surroundings. And I was picturing people always saying like, nah, you're going to fail. You won't be able to do that. You look like this. You're like that. You have this character. So I've seen, okay, cool. Most of my life, people were speaking, not necessarily death, but they were speaking words into me, which I then had to believe. And now it's like, it's up to friends, family, loved ones to speak hundreds of words for me to truly believe in myself and to believe that I look okay and that I feel okay and that I am this person. You get what I'm saying? Mm. So what you're explaining is that a lot of life was spoken into women and a lot of, not death, but a lot of get up and fight was spoken into men.
Hardship,
which I think is important because at the end of the day, I mean, we need
both sides of those
coins. Not life and death, but then, you know, stand up and fight and it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think I'm excited to see a future where maybe the provider isn't the man. I'm curious to see if that will ever exist. Not that I want that, because I mean, biblically, that's incorrect.
It does exist. It does exist. Because you don't...
I mean, for a time where it's normalized, sorry.
Oh, okay. I get you. I wanted to say another one before we go on. I can see you're going to go to the next thing.
Yeah.
But reassurance, bro, because that all ties into this. Like a lot of men are so afraid to ask their partners for reassurance. Mm. It is actually hard. It's like you're begging. Mm. You're actually begging. That's how it feels like. You're pulling a tooth out to just be like to your partner to be like, yo, dude, like I need you to reassure me in these moments and do this and that and that. Because again, it's like what we said, as a man, you are in tune and groomed to just face life one man.
Yeah.
To face life, get up. Every time you hurt, just get up and we'll keep walking. Get up, keep walking, get up. No one is telling you, wait, dude, it's okay to feel pain. Wait, calm down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're actually hopping on to our next segment, which is what we wish women knew about us, right? And I think there's a big difference between what men say they want versus what they really want. We say we want peace and respect, but what we want is reassurance to feel value and to feel irreplaceable. I think that's a real, real thing that men don't even know themselves.
Yeah.
Like, we always say, nah, give me respect, you know, be a household leader, like, from the women's side. But nah, but at the end of the day, I want to feel like, dude, there's nobody in this world that you want outside of me. Mm. I want to know that I'm doing things okay, which is the reassurance. Mm. Yeah, which I think is very, very...
Compliments. You know, there's a reason men give out so many compliments, guys. It's because we want to be complimented.
Yeah.
It's because, like, that's why men give up, like, 155, you're beautifuls, and it's because they know them also want to be complimented. Yeah. That's something that's also very unknown. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. That's a big one. It shows the difference between big gestures and small gestures. I think women definitely appreciate both, but men really gravitate towards small gestures. That comes in the form of compliments and small acts of service. And it's like, you're spitting, bro. Like, we like, I know with me, like, I mean, I believe if I'm with someone that they are beautiful, I believe that they are the most beautiful girl I've seen. I believe that I love their body. I believe that I love their heart and soul. But sometimes I'll be saying those things extra because I see the power they have in your day and in you. And I'm doing them not just to compliment you, but to uplift you and to give you a certain strength in your day.
Mm.
So that when you conquer the day, you know, Tato said I'm beautiful. Tato said I'm capable. Tato said he's proud of me.
And how nice would it flip it now? Yeah. And they say to you, you can do it at work.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's the thing now, because the subject, the topic of this podcast is things that we're too scared to say out loud. Mm. So we're saying it out loud today, that like the reason why we're calling you guys beautiful, whatever you are, capable, we're now, we're proud of you. I think you should understand we're doing that to also uplift you, so you should also uplift us, because we would definitely appreciate you're handsome, we'd appreciate
I believe
you
in
work
you.
So hard, I believe in you, I'm you proud can do this. Of you. You can do this.
More motivational compliments.
In the day, guys, like,
and handsome
stuff. Like, let's speak life into each other.
Yeah.
I mean, even outside of relationships, I'm going to start, I mean, it's inspired by this conversation. I'm going to start trying to do this with the outside world.
Yeah.
Like, leave out romantically. Like, me and myself would be like, Ruby, wow, dude, I'm actually proud of you.
Yeah. I want to say, because we're saying the things that women also don't know, no? We're saying all the things women don't know.
Yeah, yeah, so
make sure.
We're in the...
I just want to make sure.
What we wish women knew.
So what we wish. Okay. Okay, now then it's fine.
No, speak.
No, I was going to say 9 out of 10 men are polyamorous. They don't believe in one-on-one dating, what. But they do it because they can see they're going to lose you. So if you have convinced a man to date you, one man on one, and you can see he's really tapping in, love that man. Because let me tell you, a lot of men are going to just go to the next girl and the next girl and the next girl and the next girl. That's why men are like that. They go to one girl, next girl. Because they're polyamorous. They don't know how to be with one person.
I'm going to need some data off of this one.
I'm telling you the truth, man.
I need you to put a reference in the description.
I'm telling you the truth, man.
Explain why you think men often struggle to articulate their needs without sounding weak.
Let's take it back again.
Yes.
I need to always take it back.
Okay, no, we're in grade 10 now.
I don't know. I just need to take it back. I want you to...
Your example... Continue, but your example earlier covered the answer to this question.
I want to take it back. So let's go to Sweet 16. So back in the day, Sweet 16 used to be very popular.
Yeah.
Describe for me the average girl's Sweet 16 versus an average man's Sweet 16.
Yeah, Sweet 16's wine with the girls. It's a speech. It's a bunch of guests, family, friends, celebrations, hyper-focusing on, like, the outfits, makeup, becoming of a woman, proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the bruise?
The bruise wine, it's like, yeah, similar things. He looks good, friends and family. I know from my family, maybe a little bit less of the speeches. Maybe like if the girls are getting 12 speeches, the guys are getting like 2-3 speeches.
Definitely less curated, right?
Like, yeah, less curated. That's what I was going to say. Hyper-focus on like alcohol. Like
okay.
How do we get a vibe?
Even if you take away Sweet 16, girls' birthdays versus guy birthdays.
Yeah.
I think it all starts with like our relationship with our parents and like our willingness to ask them for things. Because I feel like as a man, like you... When you used to ask for something, immediately you start getting a speech about like how it was legal to work at 16 or something like that.
I was going to say, take it a step back. I don't think it's the willingness to ask for things. I think most kids aren't scared to ask. It's the parents' resistance when we ask.
Yeah, because look at Shibu. Look at Shibu. Like, guys, my sister lives in the res I wanted to live in. She has the applications and technology I asked for. I did not get any of those things. I stayed in a residence, the UP residence. She stays in A. Private accommodation. I used a Notepad A24 Pick and Pay, favorite brand. The one that has 100 and something, six sheets.
192. Oh.
Perfect one. She uses an iPad. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. We are given less as men so that we have more to work towards compared to women. I don't know why. I don't know why society is like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a survival mechanism.
I think it's what you're saying. It's even deeper rooted.
I'm telling you, it goes very hard.
It's deeper because it also plays on, it's so layered because it also plays on societal
standards.
Issues and standards. Like if a father doesn't provide for his daughter will definitely outsource.
Yeah.
So the reason why she stays in that accommodation and gets an iPad because Papa knows if he doesn't do it,
someone's going to sleep
Chabulani
over.
Will do it.
Someone's going to sleep
Chabulani
over.
Chabulani 82 from...
Real though.
From Pretoria East.
Real.
You know, living in a penthouse will do it.
But if you say to your son, yo, you're going to stay in UP. That's his options, by the way.
He can't do anything about it.
He can't date a girl now. By the way, when I was in res, girls in non-reses would not date me because I did not stay in a flat.
Yeah.
So every year when I come back and I ask for an apartment, it wasn't... just for school. It was also for my love life. Because I'm limited to 30% or less. You know how academically smart those girls are, also the rest girls is.
Yeah.
I'm limited to 20% of the entire university population.
Yeah.
Populace.
Yeah. I think you answered us in a nice way. So basically my question was explain why men often struggle to articulate these needs without sounding weak. We were never given the chance to.
Yes.
And we were always told to fight.
Yes.
Yeah. I definitely...
In everything, like even they even tell you to save up money, guys.
Yeah.
For a gift.
I think one thing I wish women knew, and guys, mind you, like, we're not saying all women, Just a disclaimer. So don't, if the shoe fits, maybe put it on. If it doesn't fit, you pass it to the next person.
Yeah.
So I make that very clear.
Yeah.
I wish women knew that, yes, we want to be loved, but like a man really wants to be respected. Like for me, respect is so important. If I say I like this and I don't like that, you must respect the things that I don't like. Do you get what I'm saying? Your willingness to learn from me and respect my boundaries, what I accept and what I can't do is very important. Even the way you speak to me,
yeah.
Even the way that you address me is very, very important. I'm not one of your little friends that you can just shout at or speak to how you feel like.
Yeah.
When you speak to me, I need someone to speak to me with respect and care and attentiveness.
I think what you're describing is to be understood, not to respect it. What you're craving is to be understood.
I know what it means to be understood. Talking about respect.
Because like I'm hearing what you're saying. You're like, maybe I'm I want them to understand my boundaries.
Maybe I'm describing it wrong.
Yes.
I want the person to respect me. They must view me as their leader. And they must view me as someone who they must come with kindness to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want people that raise their voice at me, that swear at me, that can speak to
you
me.
You just
funny,
made like a whole scene in my head.
Put me in funny situations.
Your Majesty! The King! Thato Rumpedi! Eli Thato's hand before he enters the room.
No, man, I think I'm just speaking about like...
You know what I'm saying? That's what you made me picture.
You're an idiot.
His Majesty the Fifth!
Yeah.
She brings your eggs and like one of those things that have the... like the. But I get what you're saying. Like you want to be...
I want to be respected.
You want to be the leader in the relationship. You want to be... Oh, yeah. You want to be the leader in the relationship, which is fair, bro.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah, so no, definitely respect. And I think I might not be communicating it well because now it seems like I'm as... Seems like maybe I'm speaking about somebody fearing me. And when I ask for respect, I also give respect to the same level, to the highest form, you know? So for me, respect is very important. I think it's a thing that women know that is important, but then sometimes they forget themselves.
Yeah.
Like you lose yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like don't lose. Like I hate when somebody loses themselves around me. Yeah. I'll even say, you're losing yourself.
Yeah.
And they hate hearing that because it's like, tell me how.
I like roles, bro. Like you must know your role. I must know my role. The moment you step into my roles or I step into your roles, you have the ability to tell me to like, whoa, like you doing too much or you're doing too little. You know what I mean? Mm. Like it that way I know what I have to do. That's why I like setting rules. I like setting like boundaries. I like setting all those things
in the beginning. That's always the trickiest thing for me. Eh?
I love
it. In a new relationship. Because I know what I don't like. I know that like I don't like a girl that goes to the club.
Yeah.
I don't like a girl that's like...
You're allowed to make a rule book.
Has funny friends.
You're allowed to make a rule
book. I don't like a girl that gets too drunk. But it's like when you meet someone that you really like, it's like, yo, who am I to tell another human being how to behave?
Her partner. Her boyfriend. Her life partner. Her life partner. So that's who you are telling her those things.
So what I do is that I just communicate like, oh, I actually don't really like these type of things, but I'm not telling you what to do. Then from there, it's up to them to...
Yeah, but
adjust
I get it. There's,
or not adjust.
I get it, there's a list of my all of my rules are based on my deal breakers.
Yeah.
You feel me? So my rules are not the rules based on things I like and not like. It's the things that I cannot live without in a relationship. So, for example, let's say it's the club one. I'll be like, okay, for me, I don't mind going to the club, but they must tell me what time they arrive.
No, but I'm talking about hands that are deep within the club culture.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like
yeah,
Wednesdays, Montana, yeah, Saturday, it's Kai Kai.
Yeah. Also, it's very hard to. Honestly, so I'm saying this.
Yeah.
It's also very hard. The more attractive your partner is, it's very hard to tell her what to do because you're scared. You're scared of losing her because now you tell her, chief, don't go to the club. But the club does need to see her also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's another thing.
Because I've been in a situation where like I met my partner, like we were both going outside quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like a partner.
Yeah.
We were both going out quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
And then,
like a pad. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, yo, dude, like, okay, for me, I feel like this is a bit too much.
Sure,
like we need to focus on like our short term goals, long term goals, savings. Mm-hmm. Like, since we claim we love each other so much, we need to work towards
something. Bro.
And then even her, she then followed suit and said, no, you're right.
Mm.
I actually can't be in these spaces. When I'm in these spaces, people view me like this. Even if I'm going to these spaces and behaved, even though
doesn't
I know
matter.
A cat and a dog can't coexist, going to these spaces and behave.
A dog and a cat can't coexist.
Can't coexist. You can't be friends with cats and you claim you're a dog.
Yeah, but some wolf meow. Meow, meow, meow. Some meow, meow.
You get me?
They don't wolf.
My point is she also followed suit.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, that for me is a sign of like respect, accepting leadership.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're respecting my wishes.
And you're expecting the direction.
Of what I want this relationship to.
Yeah. Where I want it reminds me of this line in this book.
Yeah.
It's a group of them. It's like five people. He's like, you don't follow me because I'm the strongest. Tato is. You don't follow me because I'm the smartest. Shivu is. You follow me because I know where we're going. None of you do. Wait. So the general guy. Yeah, he said I think, before they went to war. That's a banger though.
Yeah, I think you told me this before.
Yeah, that's a banger line, man.
Yeah. I think the next one is the loneliness men don't talk about. So why male friendships fade away after school and varsity and the gap it leaves. The I'm fine mask, how we downplay struggles to avoid, you know, burdening others. And, you know, an opportunity for us to maybe tell stories is a time where you were surrounded by people, but you felt completely alone.
Damn, yo, yeah.
I know I said a lot. But yeah. I'm basically referring to, like,
that's early stages.
Women don't know, and we'd like them to know, about the loneliness that men genuinely feel.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, when I started, when I graduated, all my friends went into the engineering route. Everyone got, like, really nice, high-paying jobs. I was fortunate to get, like, obviously the YouTube, like, funding money, but I was like, that's all the money that I've ever, like, that's money that I was like, okay, cool, this must hold me for a year or two. And you know me, like, this is how I actually met Bukhuns and them. I would work the whole day, the whole night, rinse and repeat, whole day, whole night. And Lebo and Khunza and Percy, at the time, other people too, would come to the house we were staying at, and they'd always, like, be chilling, like, yo, bro, we're gonna go out. You guys actually put me into club culture back in that. Anyway, they'd be like, yo, we're gonna go out, yo, we're gonna have a game tonight, you wanna come? And I used to say no. I used to say no.
All
I used to
time.
Say
no. No, never. Because
I'd be focused on, like, you know, working and then resting and working. And I was so alone.
Yeah. And slowly, I think
I was even in a relationship at the time, but it might have been long distance.
Really?
Yeah. I was so alone.
Slowly.
And then, then I became friends with you guys, and then I started joining you guys.
Smile. Also grew. The smile, the happiness at home. What are we doing this weekend?
Yeah. And guys,
it went from no to what are we doing this weekend?
And you can imagine the amount of fun you have when your friends are 4 years younger than you.
No, but it's not only the age, because they're also younger than me.
2 years, yeah.
They're 2 years younger than
but
me.
But they're 4 years younger than me.
It's not only the age thing, it's the similarity in, like, comedy. You must understand, that's like what I really base my friendships off.
Yeah.
It's like, how close of jokes are we making?
Yeah.
And there's, when the moment I saw they were making similar close jokes, I was like, yeah, that's friendship. That's it, you know what I mean?
It's going to work. But yeah, that's a moment where I felt alone. And there's been many moments where, like, when I would work from home before all of this existed.
Yeah.
This brings me a lot of peace, a lot of community. I used to be just working by myself, or my buddy would be coming in, like, twice a week. And it's so lonely, especially when you're in a long-distance relationship. And nothing can kind of scratch that itch outside of community. And yeah, man, I think women, I think everyone suffers loneliness, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying this thing is subjected to just men, but I really wish women knew how lonely men can be, especially in this fight towards, like, success.
Yeah. I also feel for, let me not speak for people, but anyway, let me speak for myself. So look, in the lonely chat, I'm trying to think of a memory, if I've had a memory of loneliness. I remember more in, like, rest days. The grinding, the studying, the not eating, the staying in the
room.
Wait,
so for the past, like, 3 years, you've never had a moment where you're like, yo, I'm so lonely?
I have, man.
But, like, not more than three?
Not more than five, I'll tell you that.
And they short-lived?
They short-lived, very short-lived. Very
short-lived. Crazy, in my mind, I think that you're always lonely.
Me?
Yeah.
No, man. No.
Like, not in a snug way, but it's like, in my mind, I'm like, for example, I didn't tell you about this, but there was a day I dropped you off at home, like, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, dude, shout out, like, good work day, whatever, peace. And you looked so sad.
Really?
Going, like, leaving the call, going upstairs. And I was there like, fuck, I need to really work hard so that my brother and I can become, like, really successful
so,
and
man.
Become happy and all these things. Can't you having the time of your life?
I'm fine,
loneliness, bro.
I get lonely when, like maybe, like, things are alone and, maybe I don't know what I want to do. Like, I'm like, I'm not liking my career path or I don't like what I'm studying or
So you're really good at just sitting in...
I love being alone now. I used to hate it, though. I need to be honest. I used to hate it. When I was in university, there was a time I was never alone. I used to say, it's even my hand, my bruise, my something's happening. Like, I'm always with someone. Or maybe it's like my campus bruise. I even had different groups of bruise. So that if my bruise are tired, I have other bruise to go chill with. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then you learn that, like, the time spent with you is all based on what you're investing in. So the moment, obviously, you got me the PlayStation, that was a big, like, loneliness, depressant, gone, go away, yeah? But then I realized, okay, you need to invest in gaming. And then the gaming is now my companionship. The anime is my companionship. And no, you're never lonely, man. If you have anime, you're never lonely, chief. You can always dive into another world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I used to suffer from loneliness quite a bit. I remember I was actually rejoicing.
Really?
Like 3 weeks ago. Mind you, I'm talking about like, if this thing was fixed 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
Guys, you man, my brother's talking, but I'm hearing him, and I remember him in like matric, never being alone. I remember him in university, never being alone.
Always in a relationship.
I've never seen you actually like.
I'm single. I'm
alone, no friends, no nothing, just grind, just pure like nothing. I've never seen that, never.
Yeah, so I struggle quite a lot with being alone and singing like in silence.
What do you like, bro? What are your hobbies? What are your hobbies? Like, what are some things that you like look forward to do besides work? Get out of the work world, making videos, YouTube editing. What do you enjoy? Like, you're like, yeah, I can't wait to do that thing. That's the things that you must start asking yourself. You know, life is more than just working, bro.
I think for me, like, I've like my social life is like maybe love.
Yeah. But you also have
so like a romantic partner and then a friendship group.
Yeah, and then you as individual, like removing those two, like what are your hobbies? Like if you had to go do an activity right now by yourself, what would you do?
Absolutely.
You know what I would do? I'd go finish a season of anime. You have to have something that you like at least.
I mean, everyone watches like Netflix, so maybe I can.
No, not the way I watch anime, Tato. Not the way I watch anime. I think I finish an anime per week. You know what I mean? Like I have. That's my hobby.
That's a good question though, because
my hobby.
Because I was about to say no. I've got friends. I've got like.
Yes.
I can be in romance.
But if you had to remove everything, you're in another country, Dubai. What are you doing for fun? I know I'm gonna watch an anime. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna watch anime. Fuck, like crazy.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? So you just start asking yourself that, bro.
Yeah, it's actually quite deep.
You should get into mountain biking. So you know why people, they're great hobbyists. Like they love, like hobbies are their thing.
Yeah.
One will climb, one will mountain climbing, biking, rowing, fishing, hunting, shooting. Gang hobbies to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good question for you and the people back home. Yeah.
Let's talk about our real love languages. So, maybe we're trying to educate that.
I used to love this concept of love languages, but I've realized that it's actually ridiculous to think that you guys could limit me to 5 types of love and tell me which one's my favorite.
You know more than 5.
No. It's not, I know more than 5. I don't fall only into those 5. There's more.
Which name of you?
For example, like comprehension. Comprehension is a big love language for me. A person who easily understands what I'm saying. Where is that in love language? Which one is it?
So that's a love language for you.
I'm saying, which one is that in love, the languages that exist, the 5?
Yeah, no, none of them.
Like, it's insane, bro.
So you are more attracted to someone that can comprehend you better.
And also, we like doing this thing of saying, like, my favorite love language, my number one love language is physical touch. Chief, physical touch doesn't get you out the fights, bro. All of them are my favorite now. Hey, like everything, all of the love languages are my favorite. All of those things are my favorite. All of them.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of us say physical touch and it's going to hurt many people at home. A lot of us say physical touch out of lust.
Yeah. True.
You know what I'm saying? We say physical touch because you are just like lustful. And
so
you
real.
You enjoy things of the things of the flesh.
So real.
Yeah.
What about you though, since you speak about your real love languages? You honestly feel like you still have a ranking of love languages. I feel like it applies to the moment, bro.
It applies to the moment and there's no ranking because physical touch can't be the end and beyond, bro.
Even gift giving. If I'm in a hospital, like let's say I'm in hospital, I go get a balloon, chief. You know what I mean? But that's not my biggest love language. But in that moment.
You need a balloon.
That's my biggest love language.
Yeah.
So this thing of limiting yourself to saying like, no, like when I'm looking for a partner, a big love language of mine is physical touch. Ukanyela, you're going to see smoke when you don't get a gift in hospital and they're touching you. Yeah, they're touching you and you're like, dude, I wish I got a balloon.
I think the best way for me to say what my favorite love language is, and I think it's speaking to the woman, is consideration. Because you can consider doing all of the different love languages.
Yes.
So for me, it's to be considered.
Mm.
Yeah. And it goes back into what we were speaking about in the beginning of men really valuing small acts of service. Because small acts of service for us are signs of consideration. Yeah. I mean, the bar's low. So, I mean, you can tell me that I'm funny and that makes my day.
Yeah.
Because the bar's so low when it comes to men hearing anything positive and life being spoken so into true. Them. But like so small true. Acts of service, really, they go far.
Change the whole game, bro.
Like, I know for me, like, for example, if I'm in a romantic situation and I'm at my place and let's say I wake up early and I start working from like 5 and my partner maybe slept over, né? I'm working from 5, working from 5, and then I'm working 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm at 9, right? Yeah. And then from there, when she wakes up, let's say I then go upstairs to go work upstairs because I'm trying to, like, you know, talk, type in. Once I start hearing a shh, eggs being made,
yeah.
dishes being washed, yeah. the bed being made, and then I hear the shower on and I hear, baby, come shower. The shower is hot for you. That for me is like, it's not the most difficult thing to do.
It's not even a little bit.
Yeah, but it's like, my day can continue. I can go to the studio and go even harder.
Yeah.
So for me, that's like one thing that I think is very important to me. Yeah. But you know what I've seen? Yeah.
My biggest one, like I said, because you said name more, is comprehension. I've realized that you can love a person, but that person doesn't understand. You're speaking two different languages.
Yeah.
When you're speaking and you're talking about something that's really hurting you, you're hearing coming from your mouth.
Yeah.
Because you've chosen a partner who lacks comprehension, who lacks communication skills. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Communication skills.
For me, that is the biggest one because it's like you said, consideration, it pours into all that. But same with comprehension. If a person can comprehend what you're saying and how you feel and all those things and your body languages and stuff, they can tailor to you and cater to you. Mm. Just like to you also as a person must comprehend what your partner needs and etc. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for the people back home, just so we can give also just a bit of advice. If your man runs every morning, leave a water bottle for him in the fridge. Mm. If your man games every night, miracle the snacks. Buy him some snacks, you know, buy him snacks.
Everything is less than 100 rand.
It's, and I haven't said anything expensive yet.
Yeah, everything's less than 100 rand.
If your man, please help me also. Please keep going. I need to just help all the men out there, sorry. If your man is into fashion, buy him not bracelets, accessories.
The cologne.
Add him to cologne. If your man is into, you know what I mean? Like, don't look at your man's hobbies and say, okay, whatever. Yeah. Invest in his hobbies as well because it adds to the love.
And sometimes it can even be small, right? Like, let's say you hear your man say, yo, baby, my finances, I'm really struggling with my finances. Make him a template on a budget.
Yeah.
Like, go onto Canva and make him a template.
And say, I see you dealing with this problem. Yeah, let's fix it.
Yeah, how about, baby, I don't want to be in your finances, but here's a template for you. Maybe you can budget better, save better. I'm not sure what to do with your money, but, like, I think this helped me or this can help you.
You notice I added a girlfriend column.
Yeah.
You know? Make it fun.
And even laugh and say, oh, baby, I'm an action.
Yeah.
I'll put 200
You'll even play week. With it. Even though you won't use it, you'll play with it.
It's 200 a week.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I'm just giving the people
you're
spitting, back
at home. Bro, like,
and even the thing. Bruise back at home. If your hand does Pilates, chief, when she comes home, she like a choir sounding, chief.
What?
A choir sounding, chief.
A choir.
Choir sounding, chief.
Choir.
You feel me? Buy a smoothie. It's
small
not
things. Like, let's say you see your girlfriend saying, yo, this clone is finishing.
Yeah, bro.
Like, get another one.
Cut the hair something.
Yeah. I agree.
It's not enough to just do, guys. I feel like there's people just think gifts. Like, let me buy Tato a watch. Let me buy Tato shoe. Why? What shoe? Let me get Tato with money to cut his hair. You know, Tato might even look at me like, wow, like, this guy really saved my week. And even though I could afford it, it's like, wow, like, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Consideration.
Yes, bro.
Consider me. Very, very beautiful. Okay. Now, I want you to share one thing every man wishes he could tell every woman. So basically, a universal, generic thing. Every single man.
And all the women can hear it at the same time right now.
Like, so like, imagine you pause.
It's like, it's a multi-teaching. Yeah, like,
you pause the world. And then when you play, all the men will say this to the women at the same time.
At the same time.
Men, one row. Women, one row.
Wait, repeat it one more time. So I just want to make sure I really answer the question 100%.
Yeah. So if you could make every man tell every woman something, a word
that they
or
learn, that they're going to learn or whatever.
Yeah, something they need to know.
Yeah.
On the title
to
of
know,
video.
To
yeah.
know, yeah. What would I tell them? Oh, I'm human too. I'm also a human. I also go broke. I also go hungry. I also want to get rich. I also want things. I'm human. Mm. Just like you. Just because they call me male doesn't mean I'm less, like not more or less than you. I am literally just like you. Whatever you feel,
yeah,
anxiety, everything, I also feel. I don't, now because I have a penis, things are eliminated, anxiety's gone, I immediately know this or that. I'm just like you.
Yeah.
Bleed the same, chief.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say. What
I've got my
say?
One. I just don't know. I think it's very personal to me. Yeah. I don't know if I hope, but I don't know whatever I feel. At least 10,000 niggas.
Me, my one, I was trying to help everyone.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help everyone.
Yeah.
I'm for me, I'm making it about men speaking to their girlfriends, partners, fiancés, and wives.
Sure. So talking stages, they are.
Talking stages too.
To the best is they have to too. Block the guys. If you're listening and you're in the talking stage, please block it.
Everyone
yes.
trying to quote a woman to, yeah, whatever, joking, to whatever degree.
Yeah.
Every day,
yeah,
I'm trying to show you love, care for you, make you feel enough.
Mm.
But I don't know if it's working and if you feel what I'm trying to give you.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. And I don't know if you're trying to do the same for me. That's what I would say. Because I genuinely feel like, even if I give an explanation, I genuinely feel like men are always courting women, trying to be something, do something, make them feel something, give them something, be there. And it's like, I always think to myself, a woman thinking the same thing.
Mm.
Are you guys also trying to be something, do something, feel something, buy something for me?
Because
I
tell you.
Don't know. Tell me. I'm asking you to tell me. You don't know.
A woman thinks of a woman, Tat. A man thinks of a woman, too. That's the saying. A woman thinks of a woman, a man thinks of a woman, too. That's
yeah,
the saying.
Yeah. Because that's been my biggest thing. You know, I always get so surprised when, like, I see effort from a romantic partner. I'm always like, oh, damn. Like, you're trying to also do nice things for me.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? I've been in so many relationships where I just serve a woman.
Yeah, but I think I'm also being rough because it can look different to what a man... Because, you know, a man, low-key, wants the same thing that he produces, like, band for band sometimes. But it can look different. Maybe she can, like, you know, I don't know, iron a shirt or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? That's her level of trying to give you love.
I just want everybody to know, man, I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
The more that you vocalize how you feel, the more women will understand what to do and how to make you feel a way that makes you feel safe and good. Mm. I think it's time for men to stop this thing of keeping quiet. Find a balance of holding your leadership and your masculinity with still communicating how you feel. It's okay to tell your partner or your friends that you're overwhelmed.
Mm.
It's okay to say, I don't know what's happening right now. Mm. It's okay to feel confused. It's okay to say, hey, I don't know if my life is meant to look like this, but I'm going to keep going because I know that it'll be okay with time. And... one thing that I was speaking to Bobby about on Capable, he said that every time he's in like internal conflict or he's really down, he always says, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. The guy is 70 and he's still saying that to this day, mm-hmm. that this too shall pass. I remember I asked him, like, when's the last time you felt like I can't do this anymore? He was like, bro, last night.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what did you do in that moment? He said, I just told myself that, you know what, this too shall pass
mm-hmm.
and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say, like, a lot of the episode, you know, we were describing, like, the things people should know and stuff like that. And, like, you must understand, like, these are things that we've touched on from previous partners and things we're like, yo, like, we got exposed to and etc. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that your relationship can't have the peace, the comprehension, the what thought.
Yeah.
It's all about who you're dating and yeah. having those conversations and being able to express yourself. The moment you're in a relationship where you are incapable of expressing oneself, you are in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. The moment you say, I feel like, and they say, what about?
You know,
leave the door. Don't say anything else. You said closing marks, final remarks.
I've closed.
You've closed. We'll see you guys next time on Seated with Lebo and Tato Rampedi. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys so much. And don't forget to follow us everywhere.
Guys. Yeah. And please do understand that bookings for the studio are open again. So be shy. To. to book an inquiry. The details are in the description. Ruby will put them, the number and the emails and whatever you want. I prefer you to WhatsApp us. It's not on the screen, but it's down below in the description.
See you guys next time.